necessary graces for salvation. And if we choose to use them, we know salvation. If we choose to squander them, we will not. And the dynamic of that grace is not simply about trying to get to heaven and living my life in my own comfort and convenience, but it's also about the reality of the salvation of souls. God expects a return on his investment. And the God who made everything, the God who created everything out of nothing, does not need material possessions, does not need us to win something back for him, because he needs nothing. He is perfection. He is complete. He's beyond our comprehension. And so therefore, even this disposition of God's is to our benefit, the fact that he expects a return on his investment. What is that return but the salvation of souls? Our Lord is teaching, and the church is pointing us in this direction because we are fast approaching the end of the liturgical year 2017. Advent, December 3rd, begins the liturgical year 2018. And so the church always has us mindful of end things before we enter into Advent in preparation for contemplating the nativity of Christ as well as the second coming of Christ. And so she has us considering final judgment in this case. Every single one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The moment we die, death being defined as when the soul leaves the body, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There is no mystery. Whether you are a Catholic or a Buddhist or a Mohammedan, you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and you'll reckon an account. You will give your account. And you will know in the presence of truth himself that every possible grace was afforded you to know Christ, to love Christ, and to serve Christ. And so the disposition of the Catholic then, because he is Catholic, he will always be judged more harshly, because to whom much is given, much will be expected. What will you be judged by? Obviously, we all know we'll be judged by our actions. That's the great gift of the sacrament of penance. I always refer to it as pure stupidity on Catholics who will not use the sacrament of penance. Because not only are your sins forgiven if you're truly contrite, but God obliterates them. It's as though they never existed. So therefore, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, any sin that you have confessed will not be held against you, because Christ's forgiveness is just that complete, just that perfect. Why would you drag all of your life's sins because you were too ashamed to go to confession, or worse yet, too lazy, or even worse yet, too prideful because you thought you didn't need it? I don't need a priest to confess my sins, even though the Christ makes it abundantly clear you do. So yes, we'll be judged on our sins, and if we've used the sacraments, and remember, if you're wise enough to follow our Lord's calling, especially in keeping the 9 first Fridays, then he guarantees that you will have a priest present when you die, which means you will receive the sacraments, and not only that, priests worth their salt give you the apostolic pardon when you're dying, which means it's a plenary indulgence, so there would be no purgatory. See how easy our Lord makes it in the end, because Christ has suffered and died on the cross for a reason, for our salvation. He did the hard work, but you and I are to participate in it. So it's not just going to be our sins of commission, it's going to be the sins of omission as well, the things we didn't do but should have done. But for our purposes, the emphasis is going to be on the reality of who you bring to Christ. Pope St. Gregory the Great described it for us as pastors. The reality is when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, all the souls that we brought to Christ, all the souls that we sustained in Christ, all the souls whose sins we pardoned, and all the souls who were inspired by our preaching of the truth will stand behind us and, of course, outweigh our sins. And so the reality then is, if I've been a bad priest and not done the work, and especially not preached the truth, and there's no flock behind me, I will be judged most harshly. The Pope is judged the worst of all. The bishops are judged tremendously harshly, and priests are judged harshly. All of us who are clerics are judged much more harshly than the laity. And so in the end, it's going to be about talents, not about how whether or not you can sing or dance, but about how many souls you influence and bring to Christ. And for you as a laity, it will apply in a constant way in the sacrament of holy matrimony, which is the predominant vocation. And so Christ is going to judge you. And remember, if you've participated in the sacramental life of the church and you've gone to confession and received graces, you're not worried necessarily about your sins. But he's going to judge you on your family, on whether or not your children are practicing Catholics, on whether or not your children actually live the faith, on whether or not your children embrace virtue instead of vice, because God gave to you a clean slate, a soul that you purified by bringing it to the baptismal font, and God expected you as parents to defend that soul's purity, to defend that soul from all sin. Now, too many parents fall into the trap of thinking their job is to protect their children from all adversity. No, adversity tries and strengthens. And any one young person who has gone through adversity knows when he's come out on the other side, he is much better off despite the suffering that he endured. This is the reality of the cross of Christ. So parents will be judged on their children, and yes, on their children's children, and on their children's children's children. Because when they die, the judgment seat of Christ, the general judgment, is when this will occur. Because all will see the particular judgment is different. And if you end up in hell, you end up in hell, but you'll be pulled out of hell, the general judgment, and judged all over again so that the world will know justice. And so you would see all of the children, all of your children's children, all of your children's children's children. And if all of them held on to the faith, it's partly because you held on to the faith. But if you did not, and your children did not, then God is going to judge you harshly as parents. St. John Vianney always made it clear to his parishioners, that's why many of them hated him, that if their children were going to hell, they probably were too, because they led their children there. By being so permissive, remember the big issue for St. John Vianney was dancing. And he proved that dancing led to sin. And yet they still went ahead and had their dances and sent their children to the dances, and their children sinned. John Vianney, when ours was a first started at ours, it was a tiny little village that had 8 dance halls. And the church, by the way, had been abandoned by the faithful, and the sanctuary was used by a group of men who played poker. And John Vianney turned it all around by preaching the truth. And then we see the dynamic, because by the end of his life, there were no dance halls in ours, and people were not sending their children to dances nor holding on to dances. And of course, now we're going to say, oh, times have changed. Have they really? Why would we put our children on an occasion to sin in that way when they're not capable of handling all the emotions they feel when they're interacting with the opposite sex? And if there's not good parenting on one side, then the other side's going to fall victim to that lack of parenting, because children cannot rein in their emotions. Young people do not have the reasonable skills yet to govern themselves. Why would you put them in that situation? Because you're one of those parents that want your children to have fun or to have make memories. What about the judgment seat? What about heaven? What about hell? So yes, you'll be judged on how Catholic your children are and how many people you brought into the faith by your family's example. Yes, your children are responsible for their own sins when they reach the age of reason. But you have to be honest. Unless they were truly obstinate, and if they were truly obstinate before the age of reason and you did nothing about it, then that's probably why they're sinning so. But that's not to say that those of you who made sincere efforts to raise your children Catholic and they still abandon the faith or they still embrace sin are in trouble. Because part of this gospel teaches that if your efforts are truly sincere, that you're doing your parenting not out of a love for your children, but a love for God, which then will make an ordered love for your children, which will then will make your children saints, and you've done all that with sincerity of heart, God's not going to judge you harshly if your children were just stupid. That is to say, embrace sin and darkness and death and fell for the plans of the devil. As long as you never did anything to accommodate their sins, to allow them to sin, and that's why I always caution parents, if they truly care about their children, not letting their children date so early. I don't believe there should be any dating for children in high school because they're not capable of handling their emotions. And you may call me strange and out of touch for doing that, but I've been a confessor for 20 years. I know what sin looks like, and I know what sins are confessed. And I know opportunity always, always invites sin. And if you've given your children free rein and opportunities for sin, you will be held responsible by the Christ for allowing your children to be in dangerous situations. You will be held responsible. People think that parenting and marriage is all about themselves. Marriage is a sacrament of the church. It belongs to the church. It belongs to Christ. It's an encounter with Christ, a living sacrament. Therefore, if it is lived as it's supposed to be, Christ is the center of it. Therefore, no child would be permitted to put itself in mortal danger by virtue of a parent being so permissive, or not necessarily permissive, but just oh so busy that they're not really watching and not really aware. This is a dynamic, though, because every time you wake up is an opportunity to repent. Every day you're alive, God has given you the chance to repent of your previous sins. And for those of you who are older and your children have left the faith, or your children are a barren couple with no children at all because they've embraced a contraceptive mentality, you can repent of whatever you did to contribute to that and recognize how God obliterates the sin. And then you can try to influence them as best you can. That's why I say this in particular now to you, those of you who are younger parents, who have younger children. Start now to teach your children that self-denial is necessary. Do not let them succumb to the world's notions that immediate gratification is everything. Do not give them the freedom to destroy themselves. You would not let them run off into Preston Highway after Mass. Why let them run off into dangerous relationships so soon? Because you think that they'll be happy and you think that you will be a good or a cool parent that your children approve of because you do it. You can repent of your past sins and you can avoid future sins just by making your marriage Christocentric. And indeed, this is the reality. We'll all be judged according to what graces God gave us. And again, he gives them by his own measure, by his own will. 5 to some, 2 to another, 1 to another. So not all receive the same graces. A man who does not speak publicly usually is not called to be a preacher of the truth, nor does a man who is shy have to be a preacher, but he is to be a witness. And therefore, your whole life is about winning souls for Christ. And that does not simply mean evangelizing the unchurched, but it means taking care of those who are in the church. Say you're a Catholic employer who has Catholics working for him. Do you make your people work on Sunday? Or do you have Catholic employees with large families that you hit with a standard and they really can't afford to feed their families because you go by a standard and not give certain allowances for a fellow Catholic family that is following what Christ calls you to follow with faith? Are you making a difference to win those souls? Or are you scandalizing the souls of your employees by virtue of making life unnecessarily difficult? Think of the dynamics of winning souls for Christ. Think of what Christ has invested in you, especially if you're wealthy, because you need to understand if you're wealthy, and I don't think there are really any of us here that are, but if you were wealthy, you're going to be judged much more harshly than the people who are poor or the people who are mid-range, because to whom much is given, much will be expected. The church calls us to be mindful of the judgment at all times for that reason, so that we appreciate every moment of every day that God gives us to turn things around, to turn towards him, and to not let the devil discourage us into believing that it's all too late. And he discourages us most often by making us never think about the judgment seat, never think about the reality that death is going to come to each and every one of us, that we do not have an endless supply of tomorrows. And some of us know we have more yesterdays than we do tomorrows. So live like it. And that does not mean taking life for granted, but it means appreciating it. And seizing every grace God gives us, every opportunity God affords us. This is a dynamic of the Catholic life, living for Christ, through Christ, in Christ. Life is about Christ and the winning of souls for Christ. Because what we want to hear from our Lord at the judgment seat are those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And because we took the small things seriously, that meant we were responsible in the larger things. But those who dismiss the small things will always dismiss the larger things. And then they become what we never want to hear Christ to say to us, wicked and lazy servant. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.